Thank you, Dwayne. And, you know, we sing that song, that we really will follow Jesus. And but are we really willing to pick up the cross and follow him? You know, early on in the ministry of Christ, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 19, the Bible says, Jesus speaking to the disciples who were mending their nets, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And without any question at all, without any argument, without any doubt, the Bible says that they forsook their nets and they followed him. They considered following to Jesus more important than anything else in their lifetime. I'm convinced that people that are happy today are people that follow Jesus, our Lord. And you know, if you really want to follow Jesus, you've got to go a little bit further. You've got to go just a little bit more. And what is the power of going a little bit further? We often refer to it as going the second mile. Many of us will not even go the first mile, let alone the second mile. The second mile is the mile that is the challenging mile. It is the mile that so many will not take because it demands so much of you and me. But the second mile, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, if a man would compel you to go with him 1 mile, he says, go with him twain. The account is given there in Matthew, the 38th verse through verse 41 of chapter 5. Let me read it. He said, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, he says, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. That is, be willing to do a little bit more than is expected of you. There were more than 50,000 miles, actually, of the Roman Empire, that is, roads or highways, and there were stone markers along the way. I'm told that the Jews, the young Jewish men and their fathers, who could compel a Roman officer to carry his backpack for 1 mile, had those markers identified. And if there were no markers there, then they would know how many steps it would take to be able to go that 1 mile. Now, these mile markers pointed in directions, determined the difference, or rather the distance, to the next town, as to Rome itself, and warned of the dangers that would lie ahead. Hence, that's where the expression, all roads lead to Rome, actually came. Now, the backpack, I don't know how much you know about this backpack. I didn't know a whole lot about it. But it contained utensils, cooking utensils, bedrobe, blankets, food, water, and it could be any number of things. So you know that it was a heavy thing. And to even carry it 1 mile was a real challenge. And instead of Jesus saying, hey, when you've gone 1 mile, you've gone enough, that's it, don't worry about it anymore. No, Christ said, you know what? If they compel you to go with them 1 mile, you be willing to go the second mile. And these Romans could come along and just conscript you and get you to take that backpack, whether you wanted to do it or not. You may have already had plans for that day. But it didn't work out. But the Jews were very familiar with the 1 mile walk that could be imposed upon them by the Romans, because the Roman Empire actually had control over Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was Judea was a Roman province. Now, I want you to think with me tonight about Jesus going a little bit further. And he did. Christ not only asked the disciples to go further and to go the second mile, but he was willing to do the same as well. He went the additional mile. He prayed to his Father often, you know, and when you pray to God often, it has a way of humbling you, and you understand the importance of going the second mile. And the Bible says that Jesus went a little bit further. And when he went further there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he bowed his head and he prayed unto God. The account's given there in the 26th chapter of Matthew in verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and he prayed, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then in Matthew 26 again in verse 39, and I want to read in the Amplified Version of the Bible. I just thought it was a good version to read. "And after going a little farther, he fell down on his face and he prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it's possible, that is consistent with your will, let this cup pass from me, and not as I will, but as you will.'" Jesus went the second mile. He did. Think about all the times that Jesus went the second mile, healing the sick, reaching out to those that were downtrodden, reaching out to those that had lost their loved one, reaching out to the people that were hungry and thirsty, Matthew chapter 25. And even the Roman soldier at the cross who said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." He had had such an experience earlier with the second mile follower of Christ. Could have been. We don't know for sure who he was. Matthew chapter 27. But he could have had an encounter with a young Jew who went the additional mile. Maybe it happened to him more than once. Maybe he had the attitude when he got to the end of that mile marker, he turned actually to the Roman guard and said, "Hey, you know what? I know I've gone a mile, but we've had such a great conversation, and I don't mind doing this, and I'm trying to do this because my Lord went the extra mile. Would you let me carry your backpack one more mile, just one more mile?" You know, we don't have a whole lot of folks like that in the world today, do we? We don't have a whole lot of people that are willing, as I said, to go the first mile, let alone go the second mile. God said to find your way through life is to follow the Son, the S-O-N. When I think of modern day mile markers, I think of some of these. People say to other people, "Well, I won't forgive them anymore." That's a mile marker. Not going to go any further. "I won't speak to them as long as I live." Gone another mile marker. "I don't want to be around with them anymore. They don't appreciate me." Mile marker. "I will never do anything for them again as long as I live. See if I care when they get sick." Mile marker. "I won't ever send them a card again." And that too, my friend, is a mile marker. And when we're not willing to go beyond what we're saying here, then we're not willing to walk the second mile. Always deliver more than is expected. That's what God says us to do. You know, my dad, and I grew up on a farm, and my father always told me, he said, "Son," he said, "you do what is expected of you, and then do a little bit more. Just a little bit more." And you know, I've tried to live by that philosophy of life. Going the second mile sometimes, and it's hard. And I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy thing to go the second mile with some folk. They don't appreciate you. They don't forgive you when you do wrong. They have resentment in their heart. But we must be willing to go the second mile. You know, when Christ taught this, you know, Jesus could have carried the backpack. We don't know. We don't have evidence that he did, and we don't have evidence that he didn't. But he could have done that without our knowledge. But I know one thing. If he did, he did not seek revenge. He didn't. For in 1 Peter 2 and verse 23, Jesus was often abused. But never was the abuse more horrific than his crucifixion upon the cross for the sins of mankind. There could have been nothing worse than dying on a cross like a common criminal. For the Bible says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that will always judge righteously. He could have smitten his detractors who tried to throw him off base, but he didn't. And he was the same one who said, pray for your enemies and love your enemies. And those that despitefully use you and speak all manner of evil against you for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. And my question tonight is, how do we act? How do we respond? Do we get angry? Jesus never. The only time that I ever think of Jesus getting upset was when he went into the temple court. And they were making merchandise of those sacrifices that they had brought to Jerusalem to sell and to extort money. And the Bible says that when he walked in, he turned over the tables of the money changers. And he had a whip himself, and he dared them and told them to get out of the temple. He said, my house is called the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. We have a tendency to speak our mind or defend our feelings or to get the last word in. But we must remember the words of Christ in Matthew 5 and verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For great is your reward in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and following, blessed are you when men shall revile you. You know what that means? It means that they speak evil of you. They hate you. They dislike you. But he says, for us, we should take the high road and go the second mile and rejoice and be glad that you were able to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord. It is never right to take revenge. It isn't. We must leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 19. And though he were a son, the scripture says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5, yet he learned obedience through the things that he had to suffer. You know, you learn a lot through suffering, don't you? You learn a lot when you go that second mile. What do you think that Roman guard might have thought or might have said to the young Jewish boy who carried his backpack the second mile? You think it might have been humiliating to him? Quite possibly. But he learned that that young Jewish boy was willing to do what we said we would do in song a moment ago. I have decided to follow Jesus because he is the author and of our eternal salvation. And not only ours, but to all of them that will obey him. Obedience is our gift unto God. God gave us his gift. Jesus came into the world and died on an old rugged cross. But our gift to him is our life, our obedience. We sing that song, "Take My Life and Let It Be, O Master. Let me walk with thee." But when he was reviled, now the Bible says that we're not to revile, but when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. I want you to notice actually what Peter is saying here in 1 Peter 2. He said, Christ is doing the very thing that he has asked us to do. And he has asked us to abstain from certain things that he himself abstained from. And then in Matthew 5 and 38, Jesus said, blessed are you again when they persecute you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been persecuted for the faith's sake? Anybody ever reviled you because you were a Christian? I've had it done several times through the years. People that did not believe in Christ, and they would not accept him as Lord and Savior. You have heard that it hath been said of old again. Now, we don't know where that's found in the Old Testament. Jesus brings this issue up, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, don't resist evil, don't resist people, but you have the right attitude. And if someone turns the cheek, and by the way, those Roman officers could walk up and slap a guy across the cheek for nothing at all. You see what Jesus said? You really want to follow him? You turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Number three, he gave everything his best effort. And you know what? That's a great lesson for us too, isn't it? Give our best effort. God deserves not your second best. He doesn't deserve the time that you have on a lower plane, but he wants to be number one. We've been doing a series of studies in our Bible class on Sunday morning about those who had the opportunity to become Christians but didn't. They walked away from God, or they became Christians and then they turned away from God. Well, in 2 weeks, I'm going to begin a new series of lessons on what it really meant to Jesus to go a little bit further. How did he go further? Where did he go further? It will surprise you and will enlighten you. And I hope that you'll be present when we begin that series together. The best thing I have ever done, someone said, and I can say it too, was to put my faith in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Number four, Jesus had a reconcilable heart. They need that in Washington, don't they? A reconcilable heart. They've been talking about it, but nothing's ever happened. But Jesus had a reconcilable heart. He wanted to bring us to himself, to redeem us and forgive us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that means? Bringing people back together. That's what reconciliation is, isn't it? In John 9 and 4, he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Opportunity will only knock once. Temptation will lean on the doorbell. And it does, doesn't it? Everywhere you look, we're being tempted not to follow Jesus, not to go a little bit further. Sometimes the devil will say, you've gone far enough. I can't believe you're going the second mile. But that's what Jesus asked us to do. And in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, Solomon says, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, listen to what he says, do it with all of your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. He is saying, someday You are going to die. We all are. Now, that's not a dismal thing for the child of God. For someone who's not a Christian, it is a morbid thought, isn't it? But whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do it with all of your might, and never be lacking in zeal, Romans 12 and verse 11, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord God. Christians are not to be slothful, but work hard for the Lord. Don't grow weary in well-doing, Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, knowing that in due time we shall reap if we faint not. And then in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul said to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When I think of the slothful, I think of gluttony, greed, envy, lust, wrath, pride, seven deadly sins. But God says, don't get caught up in that. Do your best. It's not just a Cub Scout philosophy. It is a way of life. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in dependence on Him, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. So I think God says to us, we just have to get back to work. It's easy for us to get lax instead of maintaining that walk with Christ and following Him and going a little bit further, last of all, in love. Do you love Jesus? Do you really love Him? Jesus loved everyone. He still does. Everyone, according to the book of Revelation 1 and verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood. But we have to love others, and we must go the second mile, Luke 6 and verse 32. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? What's the big deal about that? For sinners also love those that love them, but go beyond it to the sacrifices Christ talks about. He made many of them. And the question tonight is, are we willing to follow Him? Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never the result of selfishness. It's not. So we should never, ever let it be a question, am I going further or not? We should say with great resolve, I will go further. And maybe tonight as a Christian in your heart of hearts, down deep within your soul and your spirit, where your spirit and your soul connect, are you following Jesus? Are you really following Him? We're going to sing a song of encouragement and exhortation that Dwayne has selected. And as we sing that song, I hope you'll contemplate your own life, not your neighbor's, but your own life, and ask yourself the question, am I really going the extra mile? And am I going further? And if not, will you, as we stand to sing?